Our lesson today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 4th chapter, concerning the temptation of Christ by Satan. We find that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. In the former chapter, we have Christ being baptized by John the Baptist, and God from heaven giving a glorious witness that Jesus was his dear son. "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." And we find the Spirit of God coming down upon Jesus as a dove and resting upon him. Christ had a wonderful manifestation from heaven that he was the Son of God. And we read in another chapter, Christ, being filled with the Holy Ghost, was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Christ was then God and man in one person. He was the Holy One of Israel. He was the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He was sent by his Father from eternity already chosen to come into this world in due time. He came for this express purpose to fulfill the law, to bring in an everlasting righteousness, to satisfy the justice and the holiness of God, and likewise to triumph over this enemy, Satan. The Lord Jesus Christ, after receiving such a wonderful manifestation of his Father's love and faithfulness to him, was led into the wilderness. Christ is in this respect likewise an example of each and every child of God. When we by the grace of God are given such a witness, such an inward testimony that we are one of his children, that he has a favor to us, that he loves us, and we may by faith receive this and enjoy this, and not long after this we will be led into the wilderness, especially into the wilderness of our own heart, and we will find enough in ourselves which will cause us many doubts, many fears, many anxieties, of whether we are one of these children of God. And when in this state of dryness and barrenness and deadness, it pleases Satan likewise to come to those dear children and to tempt them, to try to make them doubt and to believe that they are not his children, and that all what they have had experienced, even though it be maybe a day before, that it was not of God. The devil tempts his dear children many times to bring them away from God. Christ was led into the wilderness. This wilderness was probably the wilderness of Sinai, through which likewise Israel of old had traveled. Into this wilderness he was brought by the Spirit to be brought into combat with the devil, the enemy of humanity. This tempter, this devil, has so many various different names ascribed to him in the Bible. He is called Apollyon, the destroyer. He is called the enemy out of the bottomless pit. Or he is called Satan, tempter, and he likewise is everything what the Bible mentions of him in his very names. He probably was the leader of those angels that stood up against God in heaven and fell away from God, and they are filled with an infernal enmity against God and everything that is godly. And they likewise are under the curse and will remain under it, never to be delivered out of that state into which God cast them into. And this enemy of mankind likewise was an enemy of God and of Christ, and he came unto Christ. Christ, he was perfect, he was holy, he was without sin. There was nothing in Christ whereby the devil had any hold upon him to cause him to fall into temptation. He said himself, "The prince of this world cometh but he hath nothing on me. But if the devil comes to you and I, he has everything in us whereby he can make us fall. He can make us give way. He knows each and every one of us perfectly, and he knows our weakness. He knows what to tempt us with, and likewise, he succeeds many times with humanity. He came then to Christ, and Christ being in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted. He was without any food. In one chapter it said that he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness by the devil. Christ then, when the temptation was ended in this wilderness, he was very hungry. He had had nothing to eat all this while. His Father had sustained him and upheld him all these 40 days and 40 nights. And we read of Moses that he was upon the mount with God 40 days and 40 nights, and he had nothing to eat either or to drink. But he had a wonderful food, a food and nourishment that needed no natural food. For when Moses came down off the mount, why, his face just shone with the glory of God. And they had to put a covering on his face because the children of Israel could not look upon him. That's a blessed time to be 40 days and 40 nights in communion with God. And we read likewise of Elijah, the prophet, that he went 40 days and 40 nights on that food that the angel had supplied him with after he had been sleeping and been raised up by this angel to eat, for the way would have been too much for him. And when he did eat that food, why, it lasted 40 days and 40 nights. Christ was hungry after these 40 days and 40 nights. And now the devil came to him and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, say unto these stones that they become bread. This temptation which Satan came to Christ with, it was something that he wanted to prove unto Christ that he was not the Son of God. It was as if he said, you the Son of God? You here 40 days and 40 nights and you never had nothing to eat? What kind of a father you got? Show your divinity. Show that you're God. Show that you're able to help yourself. Commit a miracle. Change these stones into bread. Set up for yourself. This was the temptation that Satan came to Christ with. And Christ, he could have easily changed those stones into bread. He was the Almighty God. He had but to speak and it would be there. But why did he not do this? He was hungry. He was in need. He needed food. He was a man of the same nature as you and I. If he had done what Satan had commanded him to do, he would have been out of his line of duty. He would have likewise have set up himself in the place of his father. And he would have likewise not trusted in God, his father, who had sustained him already 40 days and 40 nights. In this he would have also obeyed Satan, which was entirely wrong. Christ, he saw through this temptation, and therefore he spake unto Satan in this way, and said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not, it is written, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He then came with the scripture, the sword of the Spirit. He repelled Satan with these words which we find in Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. Christ spake unto Satan in this way, revealing unto him that It was not necessary just to live by bread, but also by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Of this, every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If we have, by the grace of God, been born again, we have received a new life. God has planted in us a life that must be nourished. It must be fed. He is that life that is in us. It is likewise by the word of God that we are born again. And it is by this word of God that God upholds this life. He sustains this life. He nourishes this life. He is the life himself in the soul of every person that has been born again. And this life is nourishing and needs nourishment because we cannot live without the Word of God. When we are born again, the Word of God becomes our guide. It becomes likewise that whereby we live and whereby we likewise are fed and nourished. Oh, this Word of God is sometimes so nourishing and so strengthening to souls that are in doubt, in fear, in unbelief, who cannot believe that God has begun this work in them. Oh, how wonderful it is when God comes and uses his word. Oh, many times he speaks a word of comfort. He speaks promises to his people. He encourages them to go on in this way, in the way that he is leading them. Oh, he uses the ministry of his word for their immortal souls. He blesses them and upholds them in the way that they are going. Oh, when his word comes and we receive it by faith, oh, how strengthening it is, and how it lifts a person above all doubts and fears and unbelief. Oh, how good it is of God to come sometimes to such poor sinners as we learn ourselves to be. And when we are brought to the end and we cannot go any further, then he comes and speaks. Has he ever spoken to your soul? Have you ever come into such a state of darkness, in a state of unbelief, a state in which you fear that everything was wrong, and all coming under the ministry of the word or reading the word in your own home, or even when you are on your knees in prayer, the Lord comes with some sweet word, and how encouraging it is. Oh, how it brings you into communion and fellowship with God. Oh, has God ever spoken to your soul? Have you ever been nourished and fed under the ministry of his word? Surely you have found that to be true, what we read in Jeremiah, thy words were found, and they were for the nourishment of my soul. They were sweet, and they were given likewise to enter into my soul, and I enjoyed them, I did eat them, and they were to the joy and to the rejoicing of my heart. Oh, how often this has been the case with God's dear people. They have said at times, thy word is sweeter than honey, than the honeycomb. Oh, they have taken sometimes this Bible that I have in my hands, and they have held it to their breast and said, precious Bible, precious word of God, because it's by this word that they've been born again. And this is by this word that they are led and fed and nourished. Oh, they have taken that word and pressed it so to their souls. And all my hearers, we have Hezekiah saying, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of our spirit. Have you never been nourished? Have you never been given to feed upon that precious Christ? He has said, I am the bread of life. Have you found him to be that for your soul? Oh, what a mercy it is that God says here that man cannot live by bread only. We can't. We are not We are not satisfied with the things of this life, although they are the blessings of God. We still need food from heaven. Or have you need of it? Then you come up to the house of God at times begging him to give you a taste of it, to give you a crumb of it. Or if he would only give you some little token of his love, of his mercy, how sweet and how wonderful it is. So Christ here repels Satan and instructs us in this, that we likewise should repel Satan by the word of God. He repelled him by this text. And now Satan, he was not finished with Christ. He knew that he couldn't do anything with Christ, and still he attempted to do so. He wanted Christ to fall into sin. And if he could get Christ to sin, the salvation of all people would be forever cut off. This was his aim. This is what his name is, Destroyer. If he could, he'd destroy the whole human race. And now he took Christ and brought him into the holy city and set him up on the pinnacle of the temple to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is called the holy city. This was because God had manifested his presence in the temple to Jerusalem. And it was likewise a holy city in this respect, that there was a holy seed in this city. Some of the children of God dwelt in the city of Jerusalem. And this devil, he took him and put him up on the top of the pinnacle of the temple. Whether Christ went up the stairs or whether he went up by the air is not spoken of in Scripture. How that he got to the top of this temple, the steeple on the temple, it is not known. But anyway, he was up on the top of this pinnacle, and it was a very high steeple. According to Josephus, it was 700 feet high. And if any person looked down at the ground, they became giddy, they became dizzy. So high was it. And now all that was necessary was to give Christ a push, and he would have fell off it. But we see that the devil, he could not do this. His power is limited. He could not do this. But he spake unto Christ and said unto him, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written that he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up with their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Here we have the devil tempting Christ to murder himself, to commit suicide. And not only that, he tempted him likewise to cause, if he did cast himself down, to cause his father to perform a miracle. For this would have been necessary, that he would not have hurt himself had he done this. This devil tempted him then to throw himself down. In this temptation, the devil meant, now, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, and all Jerusalem will see that you are the Son of God, because you will be coming down and you will not hurt yourself. And all you have to do now is go through the streets of Jerusalem, and the Jewish people will believe that you are the Messiah, the one sent of God. Cast yourself down. And now the devil, and he knew that he was quoting Scripture, but he didn't quote it all. He left out part of the text. Because it says that he would be likewise carried in the hands of the angels, that he would not dash his foot against the stone. And in between that, there is that he who will keep thee in all thy ways. But this the devil didn't say. God would keep Christ, and likewise it's a text that's applicable to his people, that he will keep them in all their ways. But he didn't quote this part of it. because he knew very well this was not the way of God that he was commanding Jesus to do. He would have been out of the way in doing something what the devil tempted him to do, in casting himself down from this pinnacle of the temple. The commentary relates about one Simon Magus, that he set himself up to be a god. And this is what he told the people that he would do. He would go to the pinnacle of this temple and cast himself down to prove that he was God. And he did so, but he didn't succeed because he miserably hurt himself when he came down. This was to prove that he was not God. But Christ, he spake unto Satan and said, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." For this we find likewise in Deuteronomy 6. For this text teaches likewise that we are not to tempt God. We are not to think, because if God has a favor to us, if God has promised us that he will not leave us nor forsake us, that he will be with us, then we are not to fancy that if we go out of the way and we want things done, that he will in that respect keep that promise and abide by it. When we do something contrary to the will of God, we cannot expect him to fulfill his promise concerning us. In this way, we would tempt God to do that. The devil in this respect, he comes with scripture, as we see, but he always leaves part of it off. He does not come with the true version and the true words that are in the Bible. Many times the devil does this to various people. I would say he is leading millions in this respect blindly to hell. The devil has so many ministers that are teaching the word contrary to the way it should be taught. They likewise leave parts of it out, and they speak to the people as if these things that they are teaching can be fully done by them. And many are being deceived in this way by ministers of the devil who have not been sent by God, who have never been anointed by his Spirit, and who likewise will fall with their congregations into the pit, as Jesus himself says. Oh, how many are being in this way misled, because the devil is behind us, even in a religious sense, to carry sinners down into that horrible pit of hell. This is the aim of Satan. If he could, he would carry every one of us down with him. Oh, we are then not to tempt God in any way and in any respect. We read of Israel that they tempted God in the wilderness, and God sent serpents amongst them which bit them, and many of the Israelites died. But God was so good that he likewise gave Moses the commandment to erect a brazen serpent so that those that looked to this serpent would not die, but would be healed. This then we are not to tempt the Lord our God. Christ would have fallen into a temptation in tempting his Father to help him and to deliver him, where he likewise would have been obedient unto Satan. And this likewise would have been a sin, and would have meant that the elect for whom he had come and for whom he was suffering these temptations would have been lost forever. The devil, not satisfied with this temptation, he likewise took Christ and carried him up into a high mountain. The pinnacle of the temple wasn't high enough, so he took him up into a high mountain. And from the top of this mountain, he showed unto him all the kingdoms of this world. And he said unto Christ, "Now, if thou wilt fall down and worship me, I will give thee all these things." You know, it is the devil that lifts people up on high so that they may fall forever in hell. But it is God that brings people down into the dust that he may lift them up into heaven above. Has he brought you down into the dust? Has he humbled you? Has he given you a sight of yourself? All my hearers, to be brought up high is the object and the desire of every natural person. People want to get ahead in this world. They want to advance. And they want to become somebody. And all they do not realize that when they advance, then most of the time they forsake God. They forsake religion. They seek to become someone in this world. To be in a high position, an eminent situation in life is very dangerous. For at that, the devil shoots at too. He will seek likewise to bring such a person down. And it's very dangerous too to be in a position in the church, to be lifted up, to be a minister, to be even an elder, my hearers. This position likewise is a place where the devil likewise comes to and will seek, if he possibly could, to bring such away from God and away from worshiping him and serving him. All high positions in churches and in the world are very dangerous because we are such weak and insignificant creatures, and we are apt to give way to the temptations that Satan puts before us. Here then, Satan, he brought Christ on this mountain, and he pictured unto him of the world with all its kingdoms. And the way he puts it, you would think that he had the authority to give these things unto whom he ever would, because he was the prince of this world. Now, he was a liar in the first place when he came to Christ with this. He didn't have to show Christ the kingdoms of this world, for he who created this world and governed the world was before him. He couldn't show Christ anything of this world. But he, in a vision, he couldn't exactly show Christ that Christ could see everything in this world. But it was like a landscape that he looked at, and he pictured this unto Christ. The bait then was this world. The world in all its glory, thrones and kingdoms, beautiful clothes, riches, wealth, everything that the world had to offer, the devil offered unto Christ, and said unto him that he would give him all these things if he would but fall down and worship him. Oh, my hearers, how the devil likewise comes in this way and leads millions of people to hell. Oh, how awful it is that I have to say this, but it's so true. Oh, this is the bait, this is the temptation that Satan holds before the eyes of human beings. The world and all its pleasure, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, the things that are in this world, they are so attractive. We have a nature which goes out for these things, and we would want to enjoy these things. And when Satan puts the opportunity before us that we may be able to receive these things, and we have to leave this and leave that, yea, we fall for it, and we leave everything so that we may have of these things that we have in our minds and that he places before us. And how many creatures have left everything to obtain in this way what they thought they would receive, and they never received it. They have sunk down without receiving anything of what they imagined they would have. Oh, my hearers, the devil came to Christ then and placed the whole world before him. He wanted Christ to fall down and to worship him. Practically, the whole world does worship the devil. All the heathen religion is to the devil and to him. They likewise offer up all their worship. Oh, how many poor creatures, likewise serve the devil, they serve the world, they serve the flesh. They will have nothing to do with religion. Many people never visit a church, never come to the church, never read the Word of God, never bow their knees and pray unto God. They are serving who? The devil, the god of this world. This is the only thing that they're after, what they can get out of life, what they can enjoy out of life. This the devil loves. This is what he wants every one of us to do, if he possibly could get us to do this. This is what he tempted Christ with. And all Christ, who was so holy and who was God himself, he couldn't bear this temptation that Satan put before him. He said to him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Oh, he couldn't bear this, what this Satan put before him. It was as if he hated it, he despised it, he rejected it, he didn't want no part of it. He didn't even want any thought of what he said. He didn't want to hear any more from Satan. Satan had to leave him when he said that, for he was God, and he commanded him to get thee hence. Christ had been very patient, had been very submissive unto the devil. He had let the devil take him into the wilderness. He had let the devil take him to the pinnacle of the temple and also to the top of the mountain. Oh, Christ was in this obedient unto Satan for the simple reason that he was going to conquer him and overpower him. And this is what Christ came into this world to do. That Jesus then spake unto this devil, "Get thee hence." Oh, what a mercy if you may realize that the devil is tempting you, is trying to lead you away from God and away from his worship. Oh, I am sure some of you have been tempted in this way, maybe in this life. Oh, he has come sometimes to you and said, "Huh, what do you got on your life? What do? You go to church every Sunday, you read the Bible, you pray, and what have you? In the end, you're going to go to hell anyway." Maybe he said that to you. He said that to me more than once already. Oh, this is the way he comes. And if he could get you to leave it all and go along with him, he holds up before you so many other people. They got it so good in the world. They enjoy themselves. They're living on the pleasures of this life. And what do you got? You're always crying, you're weeping, you're mourning, you're saying you're such a sinner, and this is all that you have. Did the devil ever come to you like that? Oh, he came to me a couple times already. He wanted me to leave this work. Forsake it. What do you got on yourself? Oh, my hearers, should we listen to him? Oh, resist the devil, and he shall flee from thee, the Bible says. But all my hearers, we don't have that grace, and we don't have that power to speak that way to the devil. Oh, we are more inclined to go along with him. He has us in his clutches before we know it. He's so smart. He's so subtle. Oh, what a mercy it is that Jesus triumphed over the devil, that he, by the sword of the Spirit, said, "Get thee hence." Has he ever said that to you in your heart? When the devil was tempting you, when you were going to give way to him, when you thought you were going to fall, has Jesus ever come? He who conquered him, he conquers him in the hearts of every one of his children. Oh, when this devil, who is a strong man on him, keeps his castle in peace, then one stronger than he comes in, and he overpowers him. And not just in the beginning, but again and again, he overpowers him by his word and by his spirit. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers. If in this life you have experienced this, Christ, he told him to get thee hence, and he had to. And when he says that in our hearts, then the devil must leave us. All we have to do with the faithful God in heaven above, who will likewise, when we are tempted, suffer it to go so far. For he knows our frame, he knows that we are dust. He will, with the temptation, likewise give a way of escape, so that we will glorify him for it. All this being tempted and being led by the devil is an awful thing, my hearers. Oh, if we are under his power, we realize not we have nothing to do with him. But if we have a life that Christ had and which he has bestowed on us, we will find him round about us. He is as a roaring lion seeking to devour us, seeking us to forsake the worship of God and to worship him and to serve him. But Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And what a mercy when he gives us to worship him and to serve him, when he puts love and faith in our souls, and we find that the service of God is sweeter and affords us more pleasure than whatever the devil would ever put before us. All of you have had one moment of true worship that God has given you. You have begun heaven here on earth. Oh, how sweet this is, my hearers. Oh, I wish I had some of it every day of my life. How loose we would be in this world and how attached we would be to this good God in heaven above. I do know something of it. I could never deny that. I could say the worship of God is so sweet and so glorious because it is him coming down into us and giving us to worship him. We have nothing to do. We just have to listen, and we just have to utter what he gives, and it goes out back unto him. Isn't that sweet? Oh, may God give every one of you, my Bible class, such a taste of the worship of God that you would say, well, I never, never will leave nor forsake this good God who loves me and who gives me the taste of his love in this life. I hope to be with him in heaven above to forever glorify him for that grace what he has bestowed in our souls. The Lord bless my feeble explanation out of this part of Scripture to your hearts. For his name's sake, that's all for today.